We begin the sixth parak of Maseches Erevin. The Mishnah is going to record a machlokas whether a Jew who shares a chatzar with a non-Jew, if it's only one Jew that shares a chatzar with a non-Jew, can he carry in the chatzar on Shabbos? And the Gemara is going to explain what the basis for that machlokas is, some sort of gezeira midrabanan, that they try to discourage too much interaction between the Jews and the Gentiles. So that's the basic idea of the machlokas. We'll get to that. It leads to a discussion of a similar machlokas with relation to a chatzar owned by a non-Jew, and discusses the differences between when the Jew remains for Shabbos and when he doesn't remain for Shabbos. And then the end of the daf begins a long discussion that's going to go into tomorrow's daf about being mora halacha b'fnei rabbo, a person paskening a halacha in front of his Rebbe. But before we begin reading the Mishnah, one basic point of introduction: when several Jews live in a chatzar together, they can only carry in the chatzar if they join together in an Erev Chatzeros. This parak is the transition. We are leaving the world of Eruvei Tchumin, and we are going into the world of Eruvei Chatzeros. So now we're going to discuss Eruvei Chatzeros, Shituvei Mavuos, the kind of Eruv that we think of when we say the word Eruv, that when we make an Eruv, that's what we talk about. So a lot of this is very much halacha lemaisa in our communities. So the halacha is that multiple Jews live together in a chatzar. They can only carry in that chatzar if they all join together in an Erev Chatzeros. If, however, a non-Jew lives in the chatzar, the Erev doesn't work unless they rent the non-Jew's rights in the chatzar from him before Shabbos. We're going to see it's a machlokas Rishonim. Do they have to do that each and every week again, rent his rights from him every single week, or is it good enough to do it once over a long period of time? But they certainly need to rent the non-Jew's rights from him in the chatzar. The non-Jew cannot join in an Erev. There's also a third option of how to make chatzar mutter to carry in, called bitul rishus. However, for a guy that also doesn't work. For a guy, bitul rishus is not enough. For him to be mevatel rishus, give up any rights that he has in the chatzar, it's not going to be good enough. We need schiras rishus. We need to actually rent the property. Where does bitul rishus help? If you have a Jew who didn't join in the Erev. Let's say it's already Shabbos, and one of the Jews living in the chatzar didn't join in the Erev, and he feels bad. He's making it also for everybody else to carry in the Erev, so then he could be mevatel his rishus to carry in the Erev. So there are three modes of tikkun, two of which apply to a Jew, and one of which applies to a non-Jew. There is a discussion we'll get to later. Does a concept of Schiras Rishos work for a Jew also, or is it special only for a non-Jew? We know that Bitul Rishos and Eruvei Chatzeros only works for a Jew, does not work for a non-Jew. What about Schiras Rishos? Schiras Rishos definitely works for a non-Jew. Does that work for a Jew as well? So Bez Hashem, we'll get to that conversation later. But says the Mishnah, Hadorim Ha'akum B'chatzer, if someone lives together with a guy in a chatzer, or someone who's not moda be'eruv, someone who doesn't admit that there's a concept called eruv, hareza oser alav. So the presence of that person in your chatzer makes it oser for you to carry in your chatzer. Even though you're only one person, one Jew living together with this person in the chatzer, you're not allowed to carry in the chatzer. Rav Lozer ben Yaakov omer, li'olam eino oser at shu shnei Yisrael l'mosun ze el ze. Rav Lozer ben Yaakov says, no, if you're just one person living together with a guy in the chatzar, your chatzar is mutter. The only time you have an isser is if it's multiple Jews living together in a chatzar, where even without the non-Jew, there's already a chiyuv of Erev Chatzeros in order to be able to carry there. That's when having the non-Jew is going to cause a problem, but just one Jew, one non-Jew, you're allowed to carry in the chatzar without anything. What's this Misha'inu Moda Be'eruv? So Rashi tells us that it's referring to a kuti, that a kuti is someone who's, it's based on the Gemara, that Misha'inu Moda Be'eruv is a kuti. Several shitos from Rishonim, why that is, why a kuti would passel someone's Eruv. So Rashi and Tosos explain, and Tanakama comes to tell us that Kutim Pasul, even though they're Jews, because there's a machlokas in general in Shas, where the Kutim are Gerei Arayos or Gerei Emes, they went through some sort of conversion, but was it a valid conversion, was it not a valid conversion? So Rashi's understanding is that even though they're Gerei Emes, and therefore that they are Jews, like the sheet of Rabbi Meir in Baba Kama Daf Lamed Ches. Nevertheless, since they're not Mold Be'eruv, they still Aser. And Huadin L'chora, Eitz Stuki also would passel an Eruv, because he's also not Mold Be'eruv. Rabbeinu Yehonasan says that the Mishnah holds like the Shita that Kutum are Gevriar Rayos in Kiddushin Ayin Hayim and Beis, and therefore they passel the Eruv. But it's Stuki, we're not passel because he's a Jew. So it all depends on what you really are, not whether what you're Moda in, but the fact that the phrase Mishayin Mod Be'eruv is just another word for a Kuti. But the main point about a Kuti, says Rabbeinu Yonason, is that he's not a Jew, and that's why he's going to be this, have the same din as an Akum. There are other Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran, others that say the Tanakama is, we know the Tanakama of our Mishnah is Reb Meir, right? The Gemara is going to clarify that. The Gemara is going to say it explicitly. The Tanakama of our Mishnah says that one Jew and one Goy in a Chatzer, that it's going to be Aser, or one Jew and one Misha'inu Moda Be'eruv is going to be Aser. So this group of Rishonim says, Tanakama, who is Rabbi Meir, holds that the Kutim are Gerei Emes. And nevertheless, meaning we know that's Rabbi Meir Shita, so nevertheless, Bitzul Rishos doesn't help, or an Eruv doesn't help, and you need Schirus Rishos in the Chatzer, because they're not Moda Be'eruv. But it's Stuki, we're not Pasul, because he's considered to be Moda Be'eruv. That maybe it's Stuki would be different in the sense that it's Stuki, for whatever reason, is considered to be Moda Be'eruv. So anyway, these are different Shitos from Rishonim as to what the issue is with the Kuti. But fundamentally, what we have over here is a machlokas from Meir of Lozer Ben Yaakov. This is going to be the majority of the daf is going to be on this machlokas. The machlokas from Meir of Lozer Ben Yaakov. You have one Jew and one non-Jew sharing a chatzar together. So it does the does is the chatzar usher for the Jew to carry in, or do you need to do or is the chatzar mutter for the Jew to carry in, or do you need to do schiris rishus in order to make it mutter? Amram Gamliel, Maisa Bitstuki Yachat Shayadari Manu Bimavu Birushalayim. So Gamliel says there was a story of a Tzduki that used to live in the same Mavoy as us in Yerushalayim. So this was part of yesterday's daf, so it counts as daf Yomi coincidence that Yerushalayim comes up on Yom Yerushalayim's daf. So there was a Tzduki that lived in the I was too slow, I didn't get to it, but there was a Tzduki that lived with us in the Mavoy in Yerushalayim. So Vamar Lanu Abba, and again this is Ram Gamliel saying that his father told us, Maru Votzius Hakelim Lamavoy, Achel Yotzi Vyasar Alechem, that you better go take your Kelim out to the Mavoy before he comes and makes it all Asr for you. So, what's he saying? What's the concern over here? So, Rashi fills in the blanks over here on the first very wide line. Maisab Suki Shoydori Manu Bimavoy Ubitlenu Rishuso. He was Mevatel his Rishus, meaning over here, not even, he doesn't say Schirus Rishus, he says Ubitlenu Rishuso. He was Mevatel to us, Ubitlenu his Rishus. So, that made it mutter. We had no problem. Why was Dad so insistent that we have to take our kelim out to the mavoi right now? What's he worried about? So says Rashi. V'amelan Rava mi'aru v'atziu kelim l'mavoi v'chziku bo kiven dekidesh hayom miyad kidesh lo yachzer bo. Make sure that that you are machzik in this chatzer, in this mavoi, so that he doesn't change his mind. Because if he changes his mind, then that's going to be the problem. That was the concern, that he was afraid he would back out on the agreement to be mevatel rishus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer back in the Mishnah b'lashon acher, that no, what he said was something else. It's not that he was afraid that he was going to back out. It was maru v'asu tzarchechem b'mavui ad shlo yotzi v'yesar aleichem, that he told them, you better take care of whatever you need to do in that chatzar or in that mavui before Shabbos begins. As Rashi points out, mi ba'od yom de b'Shabbos lo mahani luchu hay bittul shemi yotzi v'yesar aleichem, that the bittul rishus isn't going to help once Shabbos begins, because we're concerned that he's going to take something out there and make it usher. The Kesav Rabbi Yehuda Afal Gav Derziku Bnei Mavoi B'Mavoi Tchila Matzila Adure Bei. Rabbi Yehuda's version understands that even if he was Mevatel Rishus, and then you were Machzik in that Rishus, you went out and you made a Kinyan, you did something in that Rishus to take possession for yourself, it's not going to help. He can still back out on it. So there is no Eitza to avoid the possibility of the Tzduki backing out. He still might back out. So there's no there's no solution. The only solution is take care of whatever you need to take care of now before Shabbos begins. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda had the solution. There is a discussion. The Rashba and the Rush bring a raya from our Mishnah that even according to Rabbi Shimon, we're going to have a discussion later on in Daf Pei Vav in a few weeks from now. If a person leaves his house for Shabbos and he goes to his daughter's house somewhere else in a different neighborhood, does that house still aser for this Shabbos? Meaning, does that person still have to join together in the Eruv Chatzeros? Or do we assume, no, he's no longer a resident of the Chatzer because he left for Shabbos? So Rabbi Shimon's Shita is that Eino Oser, he's not going to aser on everybody else. But still, if he comes back in middle of Shabbos, so then he will aser. The Mishnah says Eino Oser. The Rashba and the Rush try to prove from our Mishnah that if he were to come back in middle of Shabbos, then it would bring back the Isser. It would cause a problem. Because in our Mishnah, Rav Gamliel Paskins, Rav Gamliel said that they have to go and be Machzik in the Mavli before the Tzduki is Chozer. That makes it sound like if the Tzduki was ready, Mevatel is Roshos. But then he's Chozer, so the Bittel Roshos didn't help. Once he's Chozer, that's it. Then it's going to be Isser again. And we don't assume that just because when Shabbos started, he had been Mevatel Roshos, Memela remains that way the entire Shabbos. So that's what this group of Rishonim say, that the same is true if he leaves. He leaves and he's not there when Shabbos started. So we don't say, oh, because he wasn't there when Shabbos started, Mimela, it's going to be Mutter the whole Shabbos. If he shows up again on Shabbos, it's going to be Aser. So that's how the Rashba and the Rush suggest. However, they quote from the Ravid that doesn't, the Ravid rejects this comparison. He says, when the Tzduki brings his Kalim out into the Mavoi, what he's showing is not that now he's being Chozer. What he's showing was that he was never really committed in the first place. That he never really wanted to be Mevatel Roshos. A guy goes away to his daughter's house or is somewhere else for Shabbos and he comes back in the middle, doesn't mean he didn't want to go there in the first place. He's not having charata on his leaving in the first place. He just happens to be coming back in the middle of Shabbos. That maybe does not create an Isser. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Yosav Abaye bar Avin Rav Chinna bar Avin V'yasav Abaye Gabaye V'yasav Kamri Abaye bar Avin Rav Chinna bar Avin and Abaye were sitting together and they were saying Bishlam Rav Meir Kasavar Dira Sovit Chavim Shma Dira V'loshna Chad V'loshna Trey. I understand very well Rav Meir Shita. Rav Meir says that a Jew lives together with a non-Jew in a chatzer, he needs to take care of that. He's not going to be allowed to carry in the chatzer unless there is a schirus rishus. And it doesn't matter how many Jews there are, one Jew, two Jews, it doesn't make a difference because the guy living there counts as a dira, so there are multiple diros in this chatzer, and therefore it demands some sort of tikkun. Ela Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Michael Sover. But what's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's svara? That if it's one Jew and one guy, then the guy does not count like he's living there, but if it's two Jews and one guy, then the guy all of a sudden does count like he's living there, and therefore needs to be taken, you need to take care of some sort of schiras from him. If you hold that a non-Jew living there counts as a real dira, then even if it's one Jew and one non-Jew, you should have a problem, you should require schiras. And if the presence of the non-Jew is not called a dira, then even when there are multiple Jews together with the non-Jew, let the Jews just get together, make their own Erev Chatzeros, and ignore the non-Jew. Why does the non-Jew cause problems? Why do you need to do Schiras Roshos when it's more than one Jew to living together with the non-Jew? So what's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's Shita? So Amlo Abaye v'Savra Meir Diras Akum Shma Diras. Abaye says, well, wait a second, you said you understood that Rabbi Meir is perfectly good, that because Rabbi Meir will just hold that Diras Ovid Kochavim is Shma Dira, that it counts as a resident in the Chatzar, and therefore needs to be dealt with. Is that really true? That, does Rav Meir really hold that? V'atanya chatzeru shel Ovid Chavim areu kedir shel behema. We have a brisa that says that a chatzar of an Ovid Chavim has a din of a dir shel behema, which means to say that he doesn't have any koach to make the chatzar aser, because it's not a dira. It's not considered that when a non-Jew lives there, it's not considered a dira. So it can't be that Reb Meir's shita so easily understood either, meaning we started out the conversation by saying, meaning that Abaye bar Ovin and Rav Chinna bar Ovin started out the conversation with Abaye saying that Reb Meir's shita's muvan me'elav, it's so easily understood, it's clear that a dira sovit chav mishma dira, and that's why Reb Meir holds you always need to do a skirus rishus from a guy, whether it's one Jew living with him, two Jews living with him, doesn't matter. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was one they had problems with. Abaye says, Rav Meir's not so easy either, because Rav Meir does not hold Diras of Chavim Shma Dira. So why do you need Schiras Rishus? Ela de Kuli Alma, Diras Akum Lo Shma Dira. Rav Meir, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, everybody holds Diras Akum is not called the Dira. So really, the presence of the Akum should not create any sort of Isser of using or carrying in the Chatzer. We should be able to ignore his presence, just make an Erev amongst whatever Jews live there, and if you're the only Jew that lives there, do nothing about it, and it's perfectly fine. V'hacha b'gzeira shema yilman mimaisav kamiflagi. But over here, the machlokes is within the gzeira of shema yilman mimaisav, meaning they're not arguing whether shema yilman mimaisav. The assumption that both Rameir and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov have is that there is a gzeira in place that requires schiras rishus simply because we don't want to encourage a Jew to share a chatzer together with a guy. In order to avoid that situation of Jews sharing chatzeres with a guy, that we don't want them to come to be to learn from the way that they behave. So in order to avoid that, Chazal required certain inconveniences for the Jew. You want to share the chatzer with him? Good. Now every Shabbos you're going to have to go and be socher as rishus. And that inconvenience is going to discourage the Jew from wanting to live in that neighborhood. But the question is, how far does that gezeira go? It's purely a gezeira, midrabanan. It's not part of tikkun eruvin. I mean, obviously, everything we're discussing is rabanan. The whole idea of eruvin chateres is rabanan. But there's a difference between a takana drabanan and a gezeira drabanan. Eruvin is a takana drabanan. So when we first thought that dira za'akum is shma dira, according to our mayor, that means that part of the takana of eruvin is that you have to take care of the presence of the guy also. We're saying, no, as part of Takon of Erevin, nothing to do. The presence of the guy doesn't make one bit of difference. But it's a gzeira midrabanan shema yilman mimaisav. So they're arguing about how far that gzeira goes. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov savar kiven dovid chav mchashu lashvichus damim trade the shchichi didairi gazur behu chad lo shchiach lo gazur berabanan. Interestingly, we start with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov shita first. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov shita is, yes, there is this gzeira that we need to be socher rishus from the guy because we want to discourage people from living in such a neighborhood, but we only make a gzeira on a milsa de shchicha. A milsa de lo shchicha, we're not going to make a gzeira. And it's very uncommon for one Jew to live together with a non-Jew in the same chatzer because he would be terrified to do so. They were chash l'shvichus damim, they were suspect of wanting to murder Jews, and therefore one Jew would never live, it would so rarely happen, it wasn't worth making the gzeira in that case. And therefore, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov holds, this gzeira that you need to be socher rishus only kicks in when you have more than one Jew living there. Rav Meir savers zimnin demikri v'dayir, and Rav Meir says, yeah, but it happens sometimes. Sometimes it could happen that a single Jew will live together in a chatzar with a single non-Jew, and therefore we're going to make the gzeir in that case as well. So the Rashash and Rav Yosef Engel also and Gilyoni Ashas both point out what's the machlokas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Rav Meir over here. So this is a shas machlokas. Rav Meir is always the one seches chul and davav, and in all of shas, Rav Meir is always the one that's Cheshina Lemiyuta. So this is exactly a case of Cheshina Lemiyuta. Rav Meir is Choshesh that even on a case where it's not so common, he's still Choshesh for that Miyut possibility. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov holds, no, Derech Klal, a Jew doesn't live together with a Goy alone, and therefore there's no reason to be Gozer. We always are Holech Achar Rov, so it's not common. That's one way of understanding the Machlokas. Another way of understanding the Machlokas is that there is a Chakira that the Achronim have, and they try to bring Rai from several Rishonim. What is the Takonas Chachamim that a guy does not aser on the that a guy asers on the Bnei Achatzer? Meaning, once they made this Gezera, Shemel Yilman Meisav, so what are the mechanics of this Gezera? Is it that because we're afraid Shemel Yilman Meisav, therefore the Chachamim are going to be Misakein that Dira's Goy is Shema Dira, that therefore we count his house as if it's a real Dira in the Chatzer, so the Chachamim gave it a Shem Dira even though Meikar Adin, it shouldn't have a Shem Dira? Or maybe no. Maybe even after the Takana, they never gave the guy's Dira a Din of a Dira. It's just that they asked on the Bnei Chatzar to be Metaltal in that area, in that Chatzar, Kielu it's a Karmelis, Kadeshal Yomim Maisav. But it's not that it has an actual Shem Dira. So it could be that would be the Machlokas over here between Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov Rameir as well. If you hold that it's Shma Dira, that was the nature of the Takana, I mean, it could be everyone agrees, Milsala milsel shchicha l'gazav ei rabbanan. The rabbanan aren't goes there for cases of milsel shchicha. But if the mechanics of the gzera was that they declared that the guy's presence is shma dira, so then even when one Jew shares with one guy, you have two diras there, so you got to take care of it. You need to do a schiris rishus. But if the mechanics are not that a guy's dira is shma dira, just that rabbanan were mesakein, don't carry in this chatzer because it's going to have a din of a carmelist that it's also to carry in, just like a carmelist also to carry midrabbanan, they were mesakein not to carry in this chatzer. Oh, so if that's the case, then certainly they were only mesakein that in a milsa de shchicha, but not in a milsa de lo shchicha. So that's an alternate way to explain this machlokas tanaim over here. So it says Ravam rabbanan ein erev mol b'makom akum vein bitul rishus mol b'makom akum ad sheyaskir. So now that the guy is a problem, the rabbanan came along and they said that the other two solutions to how we normally solve the issue of having multiple people living in a chatzer don't work for a guy. Erev doesn't work for the guy, and bitul rishus doesn't work for a guy. You dafka need schirus, and that's what we do in our communities. We have there are non-Jews that live in our communities, so we do a schirus. How do we do a schirus? We don't go around to each and every non-Jew, so we use schiro v'lekito. There is a concept that we're going to have later in the Gemara, not in today's daf, about schiro v'lekito, that someone who works for the non-Jew or who has certain rights in the chatzer is also authorized to rent out that rishus. So we go to the police department and we rent out the rishus from the police department or from some low-level government official, and or high-level government official, depending on where, and we rent out the area. So says Gemara, va'akum lo mogar, and a guy is very often not going to be willing to rent out his rishus, and that's why the rabbanon accomplished what they accomplished. Meaning the rabbanon are trying to see to it that the Jew doesn't live with the guy in the chatzer. So how did they came up with an eitzah of how you can? Meaning they said so he asked on you, but do a schirus rishus and then it's okay. So where do they help? No, it helps because the guy's never going to want to do a schirus rishus. He's not interested in doing a schirus rishus. My taima, why is he not interested? What's so bad about doing a schirus rishus? So maybe he's very suspicious of this whole thing. So wait a second, I'm supposed to sign on to this deal that you have rights to my property? Why would he want to do that? That he's very suspicious that they're, no, it's only for Shabbos, we're not actually going to use it, we just need to carry. I'm not signing anything. He's not interested in anything. He's going to be very suspicious what's going on. Well, that concern makes sense if we do a genuine schirus that looks like a real serious schirus. But if anyway we do a schirus that doesn't look so serious to begin with, maybe why would he be suspicious? Maybe he probably wouldn't be so suspicious. So the Gemara is going to go off into a little bit of a tangent to describe what is a schirus bria and what is a schirus ru'a till we get back to this question. Because again, the question, big picture is going to be, why do we assume the guy is not going to want to do a schirus rishus? If it's schirus ru'a, he has no reason to be suspicious. So we're just got to discuss what schirus bria and what schirus ru'a is. De'itmar, Rav Chis amar schirus bria, Rav Sheshes amar schirus ru'a. Rav Chis says we need a real strong schirus, Rav Sheshes says no we don't. My ru'a, my bria, what does it mean, weak and strong schirus? Ilem a bria b'prut the ruah b'pachas mishav pruta. So if you want to say that a healthy schirus is when you use a shavar pruta, and a non-healthy schirus, a low-level schirus, is when you use a pachas mishavar pruta, miyikul mandi amr meyakum pachas mishavar pruta low. Does anyone think that a pachas mishavar pruta is not significant in the world of a non-Jew? Va'ashalach Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yaakov Bar Giuri Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan have a yodin shesorchun mina akum afil pachas mishavar pruta in dine akum. Pachas mishavar pruta counts as real money. It's only in Dine Yisrael that we always require a shavar pruta for something. V'amar b'chia baraba, amar b'yochanan, ben Noach nerag al pachas mishavar pruta, v'lo nitan li'shavon. A guy gets killed for pachas mishavar pruta, and it's not nitan li'shavon. It's not something that he's chayiv to return. So what that means that it's not nitan li'shavon is also an interesting discussion. So Rashi and Tosfos argue, why is it that he doesn't have to return his gezela if he steals pachas mishavar pruta? So Rashi says that the Torah is never mechadesh by the guy the din of hashavas gezela, and therefore if he's nerag for stealing, it's only by a Jew who steals that the Torah says veheishav es gezela, that there's such a mitzvah they have to return that which you stole, and therefore the Jew doesn't get malchus for stealing because it's a lavanita klase. There's a mitzvah sase to go fix it, but the guy, it's not a lavanita klase. He's chayv misa, and there is no mitzvah of veheishav es gezela. Tosa says that according to Rashi, it would turn out that Rabbi Yochanan speaking, even if a guy steals from another guy, that he doesn't have to return it because a guy shagazal guy. There is no, I mean, even a guy stealing from another guy would be chayv misa, because a guy stealing from another guy, there's no chiyuv hashava, because the pasuk that teaches the chiyuv hashava is only for a Jew, according to Rashi. So it turned out that a guy stealing from another guy would also be chayv misa. But Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that a guy, it's also shayach who did hashavas gazela. What do you mean? You took something that doesn't belong to you. There's not going to be a din in society that you at least, at the very least, have to return that which doesn't belong to you? No, it's just that gzela pachs mishav pruta, generally if it's done from a Jew, we assume the Jew is mochel. So he has no mitzvah of hashava to the Jew, because we assume that if he stole pachs mishav pruta from the Jew is mochel pachs mishav pruta. If he steals it from the guy who's not mochel pachs mishav pruta, then vadai, he has a din of hashava. He certainly has to return it to the guy, and therefore, because he has a din of hashava, it's a lavanita klase when he steals from another guy, and he's not going to be chayv misa for stealing from another guy. He's only going to be chayv misa. So it turns out, kulaso chumraso, the fact that the Jew is not makbin, he says, mochel and pachs mishav pruta, that's why the guy's chayv misa for doing it, because now it's not nitan lishavon. Whereas when he steals from another guy who is makbin, so then he's going to be chayv misa. That's how Tosos understands. But the point is that can't be the definition of ru'ua and bria. Pachs mishav pruta cannot be the definition of ru'ua, because pachs mishav pruta does mean something to a guy. El bria b'moharki v'aburgani, ru'ua below moharki v'aburgani. No, what the difference is that bria means that you rent out the rights in the chatzit to such an extent that you're even allowed to bring in your own furniture to furnish the place. But ru'ua is where the rental is not such a strong rental, where the renter is allowed to bring in his own furniture. So now back to the question. If we're only doing a schiras ru'ua in the first place, where we're not even going to be entitled to bring in furniture to the area, what's he going to be suspicious of? Why would the guy not want to do a schiras rushos with us? The whole point that Chum had in making this gezer, in causing the dira of the guy to make problems for us, to make the chatzar also for us, was because they didn't want us to live in the same chatzar with the guy. So they said the only way out is a schiras rushos, and the guy will never want to do it. Why won't he want to do it? He knows that it's a joke. It's a schiras ru'ua. We can't do anything anyway. No, he thinks we're up to something. He thinks that there's some sort of kishuf that we're trying to get involved in, and because of that, he's not going to want to rent it out. I mean, he's not worried about losing his money. He's worried about what he gets the heebie-jeebies. He doesn't know what exactly is going on over here, that all of a sudden the Jews want to rent out, but not really rent out his property. So in the Gemara, it's pretty clear that since the Chacham didn't want a Jew to learn from the actions of a guy, they were misakin that you're not allowed to be metal, you're not allowed to carry anything in the chatzar unless you rent out the space from the guy. The guy's not going to want to rent out the space, either because he's afraid that the Jew's going to try to take his house away if it's a schiras bria, or he's afraid of kishuf, that the Jew is trying to do kishuf, and therefore the goal of Chazal is that the Jew will have to move. He won't want to live in that neighborhood. And that's how that's the pashut reading of the Gemara. That's how all the Rishonim read it. However, if you look in Rashi, Dibra Maskal Ella, Rashi says that the Chachamim were matriachim to be socher, so that it will be difficult for the expense will be difficult for the Jew, and that's why the Jew will want to move out. It will just be an overwhelming expense, time after time, to have to pay for the chatzer. So that's what Rashi writes in Dibra Maskal Ella. The Kuliyam Lolosh Madira, he says Ella Mishum Gzera Shabbat Yilmad Yisrael Ma'isav Shalakum Mitrichu Vivsidu Chacham Yisrael Adarimo Kedei She Yiksha Be'enov Litain Schar Bekol Shabbos V'Shabbos, that the Jew's going to have to pay every Shabbos. So all the Achronim wonder, it's a very nice idea that making the Jew pay every Shabbos will discourage him from wanting to live in the neighborhood, but where did Rashi get it from? It's not what it says in the Gemara. Gemara doesn't say it's the expense that's gonna cause the problem. It's that the guy's not going to be interested in making a deal with you. That's what's going to cause the problem, and then you're not going to be allowed to be metalta in the chatzer. So the Aruch HaShulchan explains in Siman Shin Pei Beis Sif Gimel that the Gemara, when it says that the guy is not going to want to rent it out to you because of kishuf, is talking about when you rent it out for less than its true value, where we're dealing with shavapruta, pachsmi shavapruta, that's obviously a rental for less than it's actually worth. That's where the guy is going to say, well, wait a second, why is what's this deal about? Meaning it's obviously not about a rental, it's not about a business deal, so that he's not going to be interested in doing it, he's going to be worried about kishuf. So what's going to be your only option left? If you want to get the guy to do it, to actually make the agreement with you, you're going to have to pay full value. Once you pay full value, value, that's where Rashi's idea kicks in. The guy is no longer going to be concerned about kishuf or anything else. It's just a business deal, but then it's going to cost you a lot of money, and a Jew's not going to want to spend all that money. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's approach. The Rashash says that the reason of the Gemara that a guy is not going to want to be maskir is only by a schirus that's over an extended period of time. And Rashi says that even a schirus for one Shabbos, where there's no reason that the guy is not going to want to rent it to you, still it's going to be a big tircha because it's going to be an expense to give all that money. Now, what does it mean, all that money? Every single Shabbos or just once? So the Or Zeruah writes within Shitas Rashi that it doesn't help to rent the guy's reshus for a long period of time just once. Every single Shabbos you need to go. He says this is what Rashi means, and that's the big tircha, that's the big hefsid mamon, that every single Shabbos you need to go and rent it from him again. That's the way Schirus Rishus works. However, the Rush quotes that the Maram disagrees, and he says that you don't need to be Socher every Shabbos, and he explains Rashi that the Tircha is that that if the guy ever wants to be Chozer, then you're going to have to be Socher from him again on the next Shabbos. But if he doesn't want to be Chozer, then the Schirus that you do the first time works for the entire time. We do not do a separate Schirus each and every Shabbos. We do a one-time Schirus, and we assume that works for an extended period of time. Okay, so weiter in the Gemara now. Gufa. Chatzeru shel Ovid Kochavim hareu kedir shel behema. So we said previously that a chatzer of an Ovid Kochavim has a din of a dir shel behema. Umutu lahachnos lahotzi min chatzer, the bottom lechatzer. And you're allowed to carry in and out from the house to the chatzer, from the chatzer to the house. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about where no Jew lives there. It's purely lived in by non-Jews. So it's like a dir shel behema. It's not like there are multiple residents in that chatzer. It's stamur, it's just a yachid. It's an area that's surrounded by mechitzos and nobody lives there. So it has a regular din of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore a Jew is allowed to carry in such a chatzer. V'im yesham Yisrael echad, oser divra meir. But if one Jew lives there, now it's going to be aser. That's Rav Meir Shita, that even with one Jew it's aser. Rav Lozman Yaakov, Omer Le'ol Meir, Oser Atshu Shnei Yisrael, Mosem Zelzah. Rav Lozman Yaakov says, no, it's only going to be aser if two Yisraelim live there. One Yisrael is not going to be aser. So this machlokas Rav Meir, Rav Lozman Yaakov, is the machlokas we had in the Mishnah. The only thing the Brisa added, two points the Brisa added. First is that first halacha, that if only Goyim live there, that is perfectly mutter to carry. And the second thing that is that it attached a name to the Tanakhama. Now we have a name that it's Reb Meir, it's not just Stam, a Tanakama. I mentioned before, we might as well mention this now, there's a Machlokas Rishonim, when we say that you do that there is this Takan of Schirus Rishus, that you're able to rent the Rishus from the guy, does that only work for a guy, or does that work for a Jew as well? Meaning, what if you have a Jew who didn't join in the Eruv and wasn't Mevatel his Rishus? Can you do a Schirus Rishus? So the Rush quotes from the Maram, the Rush in Simon Yud Gimel quotes from the Maram, that if it's Duki counts as a Jew, it does not help to be socher his rishus from him, because that was only a takana made for a guy and not for a Jew. So, but the Rush disagrees, and the Rush holds even by Yisrael, schirus rishus helps to be metalta and lechatzer. In Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Pei Sif Gimel quotes both shitos whether schirus works from a Jew or not, but it's very difficult to understand why wouldn't it work from a Jew. Why does Maram hold that schirus doesn't work? You're renting his space from him, so he has no longer, you have the rishus in his chatzer. Why would that cause a problem? Shouldn't that solve all the problems? When you rent it from him, practically it should solve the problems. So the Achronim discussed this issue, the Nosei Kelim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz writes in Sivkat and Beis over there that Meikra Adin, it does work. Meikra Adin Schirus Rishos certainly would work with Yisrael. But here's the problem. When we do a Schirus Rishos with a guy, our Gemara just got through saying you could even use Pachas Mishav Pruta. Whereas when you do from Yisrael, obviously it's going to have to be a Shav Pruta, because Pachas Mishav Pruta is worthless to a Jew. So we're afraid if we allow schirus rishus by a Jew that you're going to come to do it the same way you do schirus rishus with a non-Jew. You can do it with pachas mishav pruta, and then it's not going to work. So that's why the chum were choshish for this, and they said don't do schirus rishus with a Jew. That's how the Taz understands. Magen Avram and the Karmen Asana on the bottom of the Rush say that the Maram was talking about schirus rishus on Shabbos. But the Etzem Takana of Skirus Rosh Chodesh, certainly the Maram would admit, works by a Jew. The Gemara is going to say later on in Daf Samachay that you're allowed to be socher me hagoy, you're allowed to be socher a house of a guy from a guy even on Shabbos. And it's not an issue of Mekach Memker, because Meikra Adin, his Dira is not really a Dira, as our Gemara just said. Meikra Adin, it doesn't even count as a Dira. So you're allowed to be socher from him even on Shabbos. But a Jew, his Dira is a Dira. So you're not allowed to be socher on Shabbos. That's an issue of Mekach Memker. So that's what the Maram means, that you're not allowed to be socher Rishus from a Jew. It means on Shabbos, when you realize that he hasn't joined in the Erev and that he hasn't been Mevatel is Rishus. Okay, Vait in the Gemara, Amud Beis. Amar Mar. Chatzer Rishalakam Areu Kedir Shal Behema. A Chatzer of an Akum counts as a Dir Shal Behema. Aiva, Nantanan, Adoram Akum, Chatzer Eza Osra Love. But doesn't the Mishnah say that it asks in you that it counts as a Dira in your Chatzer, and therefore you're not going to be allowed to carry in the Chatzer because there's an Akum living there? Lo Kasha. No, it's not a stira. It depends if he's there or if he's not there. If the guy is not there, then he's not going to asr on you. So wait a second. What do you hold? Dira below b'ilum shma dira. If you hold an empty house is called a dira, a home whose owner vacated for Shabbos. He's still going to come back, but he vacated for Shabbos. Is not considered a residence for Shabbos. So afilu akum nami. Iksav dira below b'ilum shma dira. I'm sorry, that it is considered a residence for Shabbos, afilu akum nami nitzer. Then even when the guy checked out for Shabbos, it should still be a problem. V'iksav dira below b'ilum lo shma dira, afilu yisrael nami lo nitzer. And if a dira below b'ilum is not called a dira, then even if Yisrael is there also, even Yisrael also should not aser if he checks out for Shabbos. So says Gemara liolam, kasavar dira below b'ilum lo shma dira. We assume a dira without a b'ilum is not called a dira and should not aser the chater. Aye, so why when a Jew leaves for Shabbos, do we still demand that he participate in the Eruv? V'Yisrael d'chi isei asar, kilei se gazru b'rabanan. A gzeira d'rabanan. Since if the Jew were there, his dira would count as a real dira, and he would asr the chatzer. So when he's not there, the rabanan are gozer, and they make him asr as well. Akum d'chi isei gzeira shemayil mimaisav, but a guy, even when he's there, his dira doesn't count as a dira. The whole reason we asked the chatzar based on the presence of the guy was a gzeira shemel yilman mimaisav. So we're not going to make a gzeira on top of that, that even when he leaves, that we're going to require a schirus. So says Mar, v'chilese lo asar. But wait a second, is that true that when he's not around, we don't asar? Vatnan, we have a mishnah haminiach is based off a halach lo lishpos bi'aracheres. Echad Nachri ve'echad Yisrael Oser divrei Meir. Even if it's a goy, Rav Meir says that he asers, even though he left for Shabbos. So don't you see that where Rav Meir holds that even the goy, we do make this gezerah on top of the gezerah that it's going to be that it's going to aser. So says Gemara Hasam Dasi Biyomei. That's if he's coming back that same day. Fine, good. So since coming back that same day, he hasn't really left for Shabbos, and that's why he's still going to aser. So how do we paskin? We had this machlokas. The whole daf was about this machlokas. Rav Meir and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, one Jew, one guy living together in the chatzer, does it aser? Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, halach Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Yehuda Shmuel says we paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. We could publicly paskin that way, no problem. Rav Huna Amar minag Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Huna says no, not to publicly paskin that way, but we paskin like this when the case arises and on an individual basis, on a case by case basis, someone asks us about it, we can paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, but not to publicly tell everybody that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Nagu Am, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That we never advise following Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but Nagu Am, if someone does it, we're not going to criticize them and make them stop. So I'm going to invite Rabbi Yosef Kaimelon, Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. He says, we know Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even though we hold generally like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because he taught very few things, and whatever he taught was very perfect, was very, very clean and clear teaching. So, Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki, we almost always passing like him. V'am Rabbi Domer Shmuel Halach Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Domer Shmuel says, in our case, the Halach is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Mala ruya b'makom rabo. So the Gemara is completely parenthetically. The whole machlokas, the whole discussion was about one Jew living with one guy in the chatzar. What's the halacha? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov happened to have been one of the participants in that machlokas. We happen to have said how we paskin in this machlokas. So then the Gemara says, okay, something that's so obvious a psak, like to paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, is that allowed? Is one allowed to paskin something like that in front of his rebbe? Is that obvious enough of a psak that that's not called paskening in front of your Rebbe? Or is that still considered paskening in front of your Rebbe, even when you say something so obvious, like we pasken like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Samalei afilu beyasa bekutcha bo minei merav chisa kol shani de Rav Huna velo ori. He said, you should know, throughout Rav Chisa wouldn't even pasken a simple kashrus question while Rav Huna was alive. Even beyasa bekutcha, having an egg together with kutach, which is a pashada question, even that he wouldn't pasken. Amalei Rav Yaakov barab la abayik, kagon megillas tainis tiksiva mancha, maula ri basi rabbi. What about Megillas Tainis, meaning the certain days that you're not allowed to fast on during the course of the year? So what's the halacha there on paskening those halachas? Are you allowed to pasken those halachas in front of your rabbi? Meaning it's a book. It's a book with a list of dates. So anyone could open the book and look at the list of dates. So is that called a psak halacha to say what day you're not allowed to fast? Well, we know that Rav Chista throughout Rav Huna's lifetime would not paskin anything, even a simple kashrus question. Rav Chista ori bekafri b'shneid Rav Huna, Rav Hamnuni ori becharsa da'argos b'shneid Rav Chista. However, when in Kafri, a city that was nowhere near Rav Huna, Rav Chista would paskin halachas during Rav Huna's lifetime, and Rav Hamnuni would paskin in charsa da'argos while his Rebbe Rav Chista was still alive. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll really get into this discussion of the Mor Halacha b'shneid Rav Huna.